Thank you, Deacon, for proclaiming the gospel. This is going to be something of a test homily because I understand where I am going in the Diocese of St. Petersburg. The priest is only allowed to preach for 4 minutes. So we're going to break that rule right off the bat when I get there. It's a discipline. This past week, in our Catholic liturgical calendar, dealing with the communion of saints, we celebrated the feast of Saint Irenaeus. He died in about the beginning of the second century after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's considered one of the fathers of the church. He, like a lot of us down through time and space, by way of preaching and teaching, had to face a lot of heresies that were going on. It comes from the Greek word heresi, to pick and to choose. And the heresy of the time, as I was telling our daily mass people that day, was something called Gnosticism, Gnostic meaning knowledge. There are the agnostic, or which means we don't know about the knowledge, or either I believe or I don't believe, then there's the atheist. But Gnosticism was a kind of privatized knowledge, only a few indoctrinated into knowing the mysteries. And the Gnostics in particular believed that creation was not redeemable. It was what it was, full of sin. And a little later on, added to Gnosticism was, well, maybe a few are saved, predestination. That comes down to the Presbyterian faith today, but he had to fight that. As a matter of fact, he went from Turkey, where he was born, to face it particularly in the country we know today as France. And so what he had to face was those who did not know the truth. And of course, human beings are always searching for the truth. There's a book by Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning. And the meaning that Viktor Frankl was looking for while he was in the midst of losing everyone and almost his own life in Auschwitz because he was a Jew, hung on to the meaning. In this particular case, how is he going to survive? By hanging on to the truth that what we would say in Paul is love never dies, and he lived so that he could be reunited with his wife someday. It gave him meaning. It gave him truth. I always think of St. Francis of Assisi, who said on his deathbed to the friars, always be Catholic. That means different things to different people, but for us, of course, it means that you search for the truth that the Catholic Church teaches, the fact that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God and the Redeemer of the world. And he comes to save us from our sinfulness and give us his mercy. And along with that, we are to practice this golden rule of treat others like you'd like to be treated and stay special attention to what the Catholic Church teaches, especially in her sacramental system. And so that's our truth, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, he's the Son of God, and he comes to heal us from that which afflicts us, which besides concupiscence left over from baptism is our own weakness and willfulness. But you see, there's something called the Catholic eye. Father Andrew Greeley of happy memory, a sociologist and a theologian out of the Archdiocese of Chicago, used to talk about that, both in his writings and in his novels. The Catholic eye. The Catholic eye, since Catholic means universal, is you look out and everywhere you see the presence of God, and where he is not, you bring him. How do I do that? By knowing my faith and loving it. It's called evangelization, as we say here so often. And what we have going against us as many times is what is going on in the culture, which is self-serving and cynical. And because we are so distracted so many times because of AI, we accept many things that we can call as Catholics falsehood, but is presented as the truth, especially self-indulgence and whatever else that is in service to the individual only and not to others. there is a story that is perhaps apocryphal that we were told as novices about St. Francis of Assisi and about a novice who was seeking truth. And so he went to St. Francis and he said, "What is truth, Father Francis? Where can I find truth?" And Francis, ever wise, always be Catholic, appreciating the journey that we all have, doubting our doubts and not our beliefs, wanted him to have some sort of an experience of being an overt, active seeker as opposed to passive. So he challenged him and he said, "I want you to go to the crossroads in Assisi. There you'll find truth." And so the young novice, ever eager, as novices are, bolted for the place. And when he got there, there were only three little stores. One store sold pieces of wood, another pieces of metal, and another just had to do with some twine. Three little stores, that's all they sold. "But what is truth?" he thought. "Where's truth in this?" And so he went back, and he said to St. Francis, "I looked for truth, and you sent me to three little stores. What does that mean?" And Francis said to him, "Persevere, and in the future, you will find truth." Well, the novice was disappointed. You know, there's an old saying, all anger comes from disappointment. All disappointment comes from expectations that aren't being realized. His expectation wasn't realized. A good expectation. Most of us have to learn this skill of being fluid in our expectations, lowering them, dropping them, changing them. Either people don't know our expectations, or maybe they do, but they've got their own agenda. I digress. Well, he left the Franciscans, and he went out seeking truth. He had many, many adventures, and he would ask this person in that place, this temple, that synagogue, that church, that community, what is truth? He got a lot of answers, but none that really sustained him, what is truth? He grew very old. He was well into his 70s, as a matter of fact. And one day, he was going back to Assisi just to reminisce about the good old days. And as he was approaching the village of Assisi in those days, he heard this wonderful, wonderful music. He loved music, hadn't heard music in a long time. What was being played? What was that instrument? And so he ventured into the town square. And there was a young man sitting there that was playing a classical guitar. He didn't know the tune, but such beauty, such truth, such purity. And all of a sudden he cried out this, "Aha, and now I know." And what he did was gather that Catholic eye, which means that we look out on the world and we see a piece of this, and a puzzle of that, and an increment of this, and you put them together and there you have the truth. And he saw in the guitar, there was the twine, there was the metal, there was the wood, all put together to create beautiful music that was so full of perfect notes and truth that he realized that his journey was really over, because it occurred to him that all he had to do was put together what he always knew. In our particular case, it's Francis, who said always be Catholic, to put the Catholic teaching together and to see that Jesus Christ is the truth. You see, one of the things that we do whenever we hear the gospel is to always remember if the Catholic Church is the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space. What we saw today was a series of anecdotes of people who approached the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in his personhood before his passion, death, and resurrection. One felt power go out from this woman felt power going out from him, and she was healed. Someone else, his daughter, was healed at the presence of Christ. "Do not be afraid, have faith," Jesus says. There's our truth. Fear kills us. Fear's The Mind Killer. How does it go in the Dune trilogy by Frank Herbert? The third movie's just been made, if you've seen it, Dune trilogy. There's a young professor who's supposed to come up with an anecdote to a particular despot who is loaded with disease. He's truly a despot. He kills people who are failing in the laboratory to come up with an antidote. And this young lawyer, there's a split screen, is manically working on Bunsen burners and glass tubes and coming up with all kinds of, but he doesn't find an antidote. And here comes this despot, and he knows that he's going to be killed. But there's this little mantra, this little prayer, this little saying that he gave himself to remind himself to have courage, which means brave love. St. Andrew, by the way, the name Andrew means brave love. And he constantly repeats over and over and over. And I borrowed that from Frank Herbert, "Once Upon a Time When I Was Full of Fear." Another story to be told another time. I will not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the many deaths that leads to total obliteration. I will confront my fear, and fear will wash over me. And when I look to see where fear has gone, and it will be no more. Irenaeus spoke the truth about the fact of redemption of the human race and the world itself. Because Christ took on human nature, coming from Genesis, where Adam and Eve, taken from the earth, man is mud, we might say, and breathed life into them. And Christ incarnated into that human condition. And when his blood dripped down from the cross and touched the earth, all was made again holy. And at the resurrection and sending the Holy Spirit, the truth of the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the earth. And for those of us who are blessed to be of the Catholic faith, with scripture and tradition, in the fullness of how the Holy Spirit continues to move through, again, the human experience, not just scripture only, the close of the canon of the book of Revelation, but the Holy Spirit continues to move through the human race and through the body of Christ, the church, in the teachings of the magisterium. The Blessed Mother has said at both Akita and Medjugorje in her apparitions, all you have to do is look in the scriptures. The truth is there. How to experience redemption and God's mercy. It's all in the sacred scriptures. There is the fullness of the truth. As I said here before, she specifically mentions chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. You want to know what we're supposed to do in life? Read the Sermon on the Mount. She suggested we read a few lines of it, if not all three chapters, every single day. There is the script for the human race, not only for our own salvation, but how we cause a ripple effect to influence the world, not have the world influence us. Always be Catholic. Brothers and sisters, we have our work cut out for us. It is a time that seems to be very fearful. Rumors of war, natural catastrophes, people who embrace, well, the Gnosticism today is really called the New Age philosophy. It's not a theology. It's this privatized knowledge. There is no such thing. We are all invited into the deposit of faith and to know the truth that sets us free. I look out and I see, how is it put in the scriptures? When the Lord Jesus returns, will there be anyone there that has the faith? Look at your numbers. If you ever doubt the existence of God, look at the numbers. Do some reflection on your own lives and see where God has always been there for you, saving us from our own selves, as well as whatever goes on in this strange time in the world, in the church, in government. I see St. Maria Goretti people here. I always say we were children together, almost 20 years. And then the past 7 years have been an extension of that. The church is the church wherever you go. You see, it's because of the Eucharist. When you go to the Eucharist, whether it's the Mass or adoration, there is the presence of the living God. Like Jairus' daughter, we hope to be raised up through the presence of the living God. We hope to be healed of our own sin and weakness, just as was done in the scriptures today with that woman that was so impaired. You see, it's the touch of the Eucharist, belief in the real presence of Christ, that saves us from the darkness of the world and from whatever is cynical or dark or, yes, even demonic. Stay close to the Eucharist. As I've said here before, a thriving parish is known for three things: frequent confession, the Mass and adoration, and a sharing of the Holy Rosary. The Holy Spirit is poured out on those people. And you keep the faith alive by doing what's talked about in Corinthians: I give to you what's been given to me. Continue to pass on the faith in Jesus Christ, but especially in the Eucharist. When you doubt or you're in fear and you're in trouble, go to the Blessed Sacrament. Go to that adoration room. It's even suggested by St. Francis that you prostrate yourself, full body, face down, in the presence of a crucifix in your home. Adore him. Venerate him. Trust in him. No wonder it's so important that St. Faustina was told in the 1930s that it would be this century that the people of God and people in the world would be most tempted to disbelieve not only in the existence of God, but if he exists, that he is not merciful, that it's like a hammer coming down on the anvil and we are caught in between. That's not the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is in the church, which is the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space. Christ is the head and we are the members. I want to thank you for all that you have done for me and for the friars by way of practicing the faith. If I may speak for Father Dan and for our deacons, in this particular day and age with all that goes on, it's easy, especially if we pay attention to AI, especially because we as Catholics sense the real presence. We also can have a sense of the real absence. And you look out on the world and we see a lot of reason for believing that. But then there's you and there's us, along with the Blessed Trinity and our Blessed Virgin Mary. The Catholic Church is the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space. That's you and me. And when you look out with the Catholic eye and you see where he is not, then you bring him there with your truth, because the truth will set you free.